Hi everyone, this is your host, Sam, and you're listening to Wiccan Witch of the South. So today we have a very special guest with us. This is the infamous friend that was mentioned throughout episode one. So I'd like to introduce you to Hannah. Hannah, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and your practice for the listeners?
I'm Hannah. I've been friends with the host, Sam, for about too long. And I am a pastor's kid who practices Celtic witchcraft.
That's a really unique perspective.
Yeah.
Can you kind of go into, like, how did you get to Celtic witchcraft? Because obviously, being a pastor's kid, you were raised in the church. So how does one go from being an evangelical pastor's kid to all of a sudden you're wearing, like, a pointy hat and riding around on a broomstick? Like, how does that happen?
Well, really, I didn't start Celtic witchcraft until about a year ago. But I got into witchcraft from a young age. I started seeing entities. An old friend of mine used to call it being a seer. And they scared me. And so witchcraft has protection. And I obviously very wanted protection. So that's kind of how I started there. And then it just, went downhill.
It's all downhill from there.
It's all downhill from there, you know?
Yeah. So would you say that witchcraft provided, like, a sense of comfort for you?
It was definitely safety. I lacked feeling safety, and it comes from having anxiety. You know, a lot of that was anxiety.
Right.
And you want a coping mechanism, and my coping mechanism was doing protection spells and warding and black salt.
Yeah, we love the black salt in this household.
I was so obsessed when I found out there was black salt. I was like, there's other types of salt than white salt.
I know, there's red salt, there's pink salt.
I was astonished, really and honestly. I was like, it's all the colors of the rainbow.
Yeah, you can just, all the chakra colors, just all through the house. Just coat the whole house.
Crazy. It was like my eyes were opened. So... yeah, that's kind of how it happened. And then from there, I grew up knowing that I was from Irish heritage. I grew up with the heirlooms, with the stories of our ancestors in Ireland. And so finding out that there was actually Celtic pagans, because you don't really associate in American culture paganism with white people. And that's just whitewashing history, really.
Oh, yeah, honestly. 100%.
It's where white people... or Christian whitewashing, per se. I guess I would say like that. Like the modern Christian whitewashing history. White people have been the angels, the saviors. And they never did wrong. They never did anything that was against God. But everyone else, they're pagans. They're of the devil.
Right. Well, I mean, if you look back in Irish Catholicism, because that was one of the places that I started researching a lot of things in witchcraft. Also, if you guys hear any kind of noise in the background, that is my dog. He is very energetic and hyper. So that's my dog, Roscoe, if you hear anything in the background, any jingling or anything like that.
It's a good sound.
Yeah, it's a good sound. It's a good sound to hear. The happiness of a dog just running around in the background, running amok. But if you look back in Irish Catholicism, I mean, the fact that, you know, I always like to tell the story about the goddess Breed, because, like, she literally was so beloved by the Irish people that the only way they could get them to convert to Catholicism was to make her a saint. So, I mean, paganism essentially is anything that was not Christianity or, at the time, Catholicism, and then eventually Protestant.
Yeah. I mean, even I believe when we were talking about Celtic in this past year, how they did more than just, like, have Breed as a saint. Like, mm-hmm. they added their culture and their festivals and rituals to that. They really never gave up their pagan ways.
Right, because they couldn't. They weren't going to.
It was their culture.
Yeah. You know, I agree with you in that I feel like a lot of the aspects of American culture, especially with white people, I think we've lost the ability to connect to our heritage. And I think that's why we feel so empty a lot of the time, because it's like we don't have a heritage. You know what I mean? As white Americans, we don't really have, like, what do we got? Like, hot dogs and hamburgers? Like, is it basically all we have? Maybe
racism,
baseball?
Racism and capitalism.
Yeah, that is exactly. What we have. Exactly. Like, we don't have a very rich history. So being able to tap into, like, where you came from, I think is very important, especially if you are somebody who works with, like, ancestors. So ancestral work, I believe that would be a huge thing, is to go back through your ethnic group and try to figure out, like, where you came from, essentially. Yeah. What your roots are.
That's what I started working on recently, is going through my ancestors, because really the only ancestor I know the name of back in Ireland was Grace O'Malley, the Pirate Queen, and she's, like, cousin.
Yeah.
You know? But I wanted to know more. Why was I specifically, after generations of Christian family, all of a sudden the one to break that?
Mm-hmm. Break the ancestral curses?
Why was I drawn to witchcraft? Why was mm-hmm. I drawn to it? I mean, from a young age, getting energy from the full moon, hugging trees because I felt like they needed a hug.
Yeah.
You know, always just having a connection to animals and nature and everything that pretty much witchcraft is about.
Mm-hmm.
Why was I the one? Like, this has to come from somewhere. Yeah. Where is it coming from? And obviously, my Christian family doesn't want to talk about any witch that was in the family.
Right, yeah. So naturally.
I have to find out from the ancestors themselves.
Right, yeah. Naturally. So you said you were a pastor's kid.
Ah, yes.
And the fact that you also said that you have been very connected to nature from a very young age, how was that growing up, being a pastor's kid and knowing you were different? How did that affect you growing up?
I didn't talk to a lot of people.
You speak to the trees?
I speak to the trees. So the thing about our paths and why it works so well, we were talking about this earlier, was that we have different backgrounds of the church. So my connection to nature wasn't really, what's the word?
Wasn't scrutinized?
He wasn't scrutinized, by my parents. And I didn't really pay attention to people as a child. Like, apparently I was bullied in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Like, I found that out 2 months ago. I was like, what do you mean? You know?
Yeah.
My mom was so worried for me in kindergarten. I wasn't paying attention to people.
Yeah. You just kind of marched to the beat of your own drum.
I mean, that's how my mom raised me. And yeah. So I didn't really care for people's opinions. Still don't. Sam knows this very well.
Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't.
But that wasn't weird to my family. They just thought mm-hmm. I was a little flower child.
Yeah.
It wasn't until really I noticed I was different until I was about 13, around the youth group age.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to be in a youth group because before my dad was a pastor, he was a youth pastor.
Right.
And so I hung out with the youth kids because my parents mm-hmm. didn't want to pay for babysitters every week. But when I actually entered a youth group, I had such a bad feeling in my stomach, and I got angry so much at what they were teaching.
Mm. Like what, for example?
Well, let's talk about, like, the LGBTQ.
Okay.
Of course, the first time I go to this youth group, the youth pastor decides to talk about transgender people.
Mm. Yeah.
And as a kid, and I don't know how this happened growing up in the church, really, mm-hmm. but I never understood what the problem was with transgender people.
Yeah, I never had that issue either.
Because I was like, if they say they're a boy, they're a boy.
Yeah. I feel like as a kid, I was very loving and accepting of people just in general. And so maybe that's also how you were as well.
Well, I believe hate is taught. I don't believe you are born homophobic and racist.
Mm-hmm.
You are taught that. And I guess I just didn't pay attention when church was teaching me that.
You just didn't listen.
I did not listen.
Well, because you were marching to the beat of your own drum. I didn't even listen
to anybody.
Yeah. Let alone somebody on a pulpit. Like,
right.
Yeah.
But he was saying, he said this one, I'll never forget it. You could say you're a cat for all I care, you're still human. And it angered me so much.
Oh my God.
I did not go back to that church. I did not go back to that church for youth group. I did not want to do any of it.
Yeah.
And when my parents asked me why, I was like, this is what he said. And then they, you know, had like a scripture, and I was like, I just feel like you're misinterpreting that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my hearts of hearts, there's no way that this is godly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they've grown. I would like to point, my parents have grown a lot.
Oh, tremendously. In the time that I've known her, her parents have become very affirming. And it's honestly nice to see, because there's not a lot of people, I feel like, in this area that come from the church and still profess to be Christians, like her folks do, and are so loving and accepting of just any background.
My mom made a whole Instagram post about the start of Pride Month.
I saw that, yeah.
But at 13, when I noticed that difference, and then, as every kid goes through at some point, I hope, because you probably need to do this at some point, a sexuality confusion or opening your eyes, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I realize that females are also very attractive. And that was devastating, because it happened right when I realized how much hate the church has for the LGBT.
Yeah.
And it was a struggle for my family. And it was devastating for me. So when I found that difference, I also started to notice that the moon giving me energy and my weird attraction to the occult.
Yeah.
That's not normal in the Christian sphere.
It's not normal in the South. Let's
just be real. It's not normal in the South. Like, I am not a normal person.
Yeah.
So that's when everything started to move forward, to tick. Around the same time, I met you.
Yeah.
When we were both trying to avoid people.
Yeah.
At a party. Why did we go to parties?
Somebody we loved, that's why.
We loved one person in that entire thing.
Entire group. So we actually, a little bit about our background, we met at her dad's church, what later became her dad's church.
Yes.
And it was kind of hilarious because we would sit front row and we would be there talking about astrology and tarot cards.
Right when my dad was staring at me off the stage, you know?
Yeah, just preaching from the pulpit, and we're down there talking about the occult, so.
Yeah, we really were. But she had opened up the conversation, as she had said in her previous episode. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can do it. I can be free about it.
Yeah.
And it just, over 3-4 years, it just kept going. I kept going and kept going.
Yeah. Now, did you ever have a quote-unquote crisis of faith with witchcraft like I did? So, like, for example, in the previous episode, I talked about how I heard a sermon about divination, and that was enough for me to put my tarot cards down for a couple years. Did you ever go through something like that?
I never stopped. Like, I mean, I wasn't doing it daily. I wasn't, like,
Well, I mean, who does, really?
Right?
Let's be real here. Like, let's be completely transparent. Nobody does a spell a day.
Right, like, I wasn't doing any of that, but I essentially, when I did have a crisis, it was me being depressed because I'm going to hell.
And, right.
But at the same time, I was too far gone. That was my mentality.
Yeah.
I was too far gone, so why even bother trying to fix it?
Right.
And you know, I was bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
I already did pig and stuff. I'm like, what is there left to save me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I feel like that is one of the biggest scare tactics that the church uses to keep you. And in the end, it ends up chasing people out because it's like, well, I'm already going to hell and God doesn't love me anymore, supposedly. So, like, why stop now? Right?
Yeah. I mean, like, there's no point.
Right.
They tell you that there's...
Yeah.
They don't give you a solution to your problem.
No. You just need to have more faith, Hannah. You need to pray more. You
need to have more faith, man. Okay, I'm sorry. Praying every day.
It ain't working.
Knees bruised from being on my knees praying to God.
Yep.
It's not working.
Yep. Yep.
It's not working. Paris obviously don't know yet.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that.
Yeah, they don't know yet how far I've gone. They have inklings, because I don't hide my altar, but we've never had an outright conversation about it. And I'd like to keep it that way for now. I'd like to enjoy the peace that I have with my spirituality.
Right.
Before I get into the nitty-gritty of things.
Right.
Kind of found more foundation, too. Because like I said, I just started Celtic stuff and ancestral work and the deity work now. And, you know, I have all these things on my plate that I need a firm foundation before I...
Right.
Crumble.
Right. And you mentioned deity work. You have a very interesting... path. You're very eclectic in your path, and I'd love for you to talk more about that because I find it incredibly fascinating. As somebody who has really tried to, I guess, meld my Christianity with my witchcraft in the beginning, and then just I've completely abandoned it at this point. Your path fascinates me. So could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes. So even though the church is not so loving as we want it to be, that did not affect my relationship with Abba the Father. I do like to say I follow the Abrahamic God rather than the Christian God.
Right.
Because those are two different gods.
Oh, 100%. In my opinion. 100%.
So I still talk and worship to the Abba the Father. However, I also recently started working with the Morrigan, triple goddess from the Celtic pantheon, the Shadow Queen. She has many names.
She really does.
And it's very interesting because I didn't think 3 months ago that I would have worked with another deity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get that. Yep.
But now I have two.
Mm-hmm.
Why have I done it? How have I done it? Can't really tell you.
Very carefully.
Very carefully. I didn't expect the Morrigan to be the one to reach out.
Yeah.
Because Abba the Father is very important to me. I grew up with a loving father depiction of him, which is very rare in the South to get. I did not grow up knowing him as the wrathful, vengeful God.
Right, yeah.
He loved you. He gave his only son for you. You are free.
Yeah, and I think that is very indicative of your actual, like, living earthly father.
Yes.
I think that's kind of... So, if, like, for me, for example, male deities are not something that I tend to want to work with because I don't have the warm and fuzzies about masculine figures and like just in like in general and so that's why I'm really drawn to goddess work. So it's interesting because a lot of witches mainly work with female deities. I feel like from all the ones that I follow, there's a lot of them that work with female deities.
It's definitely more mainstream.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And I think it has to do with the very strong feminist aspect of witchcraft, which is amazing. Like, don't get me wrong, I think it's awesome.
I love it.
But it's fascinating to me to kind of see that you tap into that masculine energy a little bit more than I do.
My father calls his parenting style trying to be a father like God.
Yeah.
Through my entire childhood. And so when me and my father had issues back when I was 13, I would have issues with Abba the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He and my father are almost a direct connection.
Right, yeah.
And to my mind, I see God, the Abrahamic God, as my dad.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a lot of pressure on him. That's a lot of pressure on one man.
I've never told him this for that reason.
Yeah, yeah.
But he has been that image of God for me. Mm-hmm. And I have a phenomenal relationship with my father.
Yeah.
So me leaving the church did not damage my relationship with Abba the Father, much to the Southern Baptists' dismay.
Yeah, those darn Southern Baptists, man, they're chomping at the bit.
They really hate me.
Ready to chuck you in hell.
And then the Morgan, she is described as jealous. So you wouldn't think she would like to share an altar.
Which is fascinating to me because Elohim is also a very jealous god.
Yes.
So it's like you have two very possessive deities.
I do.
That are duking it out.
Is it my personality? Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe this is some like underlining stuff we need to like dive into.
But I remember asking her, I was like, are you okay that I'm not going to give up Abba the Father?
Yeah.
That you would have to share this altar with him.
Mm-hmm.
She was fine.
Yeah.
I find it interesting and maybe a wrong depiction of her to call her jealous in that sense.
Hmm.
More jealous of you not giving her enough attention. That's definitely something I've learned.
Yeah, she's like, as long as you don't ignore me, everything's okay.
As long as you don't ignore her, she's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't talk to her for 3 days. It's an issue.
Yeah.
I've learned.
She's like a jealous girlfriend. You gotta text her every day.
Right, and that's fine. I get it. I am too. It's okay. Same energy.
Y'all relate. Y'all relate. That's all it is.
Same energy.
All right, that's really cool. So, one of the questions I probably will ask everybody that I interview, and I will be interviewing more people as time goes on. I have a lot of friends that are definitely willing to get on here and share their story. But are you a coven or no coven kind of witch? Are you somebody who likes the community aspect of witchcraft, or are you somebody who is more solitary?
I'm definitely more solitary. You know, I like being by myself. I like doing my own thing. I don't like being told what to do. I think we talked about that in the church as a kid. I didn't pay attention to people, not their opinions about me. I care about opinions about other things, just not me.
Right, yeah.
So it's more of a solidarity thing. Community-wise, I do like having a group of people kind of in the pagan realm, because you'll find similarities in everything,
with your
path and your craft, and I do like talking to elders. Probably comes from being in the church. You respect your elders, and your elders are more wise than you, and I still believe that to an extent. So like you talked before about the metaphysical shop we go to, that's our church.
Yeah.
If I were to be in a coven, it would be with them.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So you would say more that your practice in of itself is more solidary, but you like interacting with other witches outside of ritual.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't like being told what to do.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of people that have religious trauma
like we both do, is it kind of like throughout our whole lives, we've, you know, been told what to do and what to feel and what to believe. And then all of a sudden with witchcraft, you have this freedom of like, oh, I can pick whatever I want.
I can choose.
Yep.
I have a choice.
Yep. And it matters.
It matters.
I choose what's best for me and not what's best for somebody else that telling is best for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I couldn't do someone telling me this is how you actually do it. Who said you? When did God die and make you ruler of everything?
When did Goddess die and make you the new goddess?
Like, right, like when were you the ruler of everything?
Yeah.
Sure, I'm sure that'll probably go away at some point. But I've just noticed from a lot of covens that there's a set rules of things to do.
Yeah.
And I don't play by the rules.
Yeah, yeah.
Neither does my mother. I come by it honestly.
You really do. You really do. Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest things to me about covens in general is that it tends to be more, especially in the Wiccan realm of things. And obviously, you're not Wiccan, so we'll talk a little bit about that. I mean, do you still identify as a Christian even though you worship the Abrahamic God and do witchcraft?
No.
Okay, why is that?
Christian has become synonymous with hate and racism. And looking back in history, I'm a little bit of a history buff. It's just continuous stream of hate and persecution and racism and murder.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't stop. And the church doesn't want to take responsibility.
Right, yeah.
And I'm not going to call myself a part of an institution at this point.
Mm-hmm. A cult.
A cult. That,
that's probably going to offend some people, but that's kind of an inside joke that we joke that, like, the American church is a cult.
You eat the body of Christ and drink the blood, his blood.
Right. Can we just talk about that?
Like, if anything's a cult, that sounds pretty occult.
I mean, they make fun of us because we're out here, you know, like leaving sacrifices to our gods and goddesses, and we're not killing anything. I mean, there are probably some people out there that do, but like in terms of us, we're not like sacrificing goats and doves on our altars.
Mother Nature would kill me.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we're both nature-based people.
Yeah.
But apparently ritual cannibalism in the church is completely normal and natural, you know?
Well, yeah. There's not a separation of church and state here.
Yeah. Oh, that's
very
true.
So, of course, it's going to be normal.
Yeah. Very, very true.
Our society is built around Christianity.
Yep.
That's why I want to leave.
So if you, obviously, like witches, we love to read books, right? We love to read. We love to glean knowledge. If you could give a recommendation of a witchcraft book that you've read during your practice, what would it be and why?
I might possibly have multiple.
That's fine.
So the ones that I've read, and I can't remember the author's name for these first two, but you will know the author's name. The Green Witch.
Yes, I've her name escapes me as well, but she has written so many books. Very beautiful covers. Like, her books are
stunning
aesthetic.
Covers. Mm-hmm. I really recommend that for baby witches. And Spellcrafting, also by her. Same person. Good for baby witches. A lot of research done into it. The only other book I've read is Ancestral Tarot. And I also don't remember the author's name. I'm not good with names.
I'm not either, so it's fine. I could describe the book cover to you in detail. I can tell you what it's about, but God help me if I can remember the author's name.
The title is literally The Ancestral Tarot. And I've enjoyed that. I'm currently reading it because I'm currently learning about it.
Right.
But it basically just gives you spreads. And what each card means and ways to contact the ancestor and different ancestors, and even for adopted witches, like, to find your, how to find your ancestors through there.
Right.
The Green Witch talks about the Green Witch way.
Mm-hmm.
And then spell crafting gives you all the basic tools you need to do spells.
Right. So would you identify as a Green Witch?
I would say I would identify as a Green Witch. I like Celtic Witch better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty synonymous with the Green Witch.
Yeah. Very path. Nature-based. Yeah.
Very nature-based. I spent 30 minutes last night trying to save a moth.
just witchy things.
Just witch things.
Yeah.
So, those are the books. I don't recommend the Bible.
Yeah. We don't recommend the Bible on this channel. Unless it's the Psalms. The Psalms are very beautiful to use for spell work. So
they're stunning.
I've done that in the past.
Psalms, but there is plenty of mistranslations. So if
you just cut that out and just get the Book of Psalms.
Find a Bible that is purely just the Book of Psalms. I 100% recommend that.
Yeah.
For any Christian witches out there.
Yes, 100%. I started, with all my spell work, I started doing spells of the Book of Psalms, which I believe comes from...
That's how I did my protection spell.
Yeah.
This is a verse of the Book of Psalms.
Yep. I believe that comes from, mainly from the Hoodoo religion. A lot of them use the Psalms, the Book of Psalms, in their spell work, and it's very beautiful.
Understandably, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know how you would use any other book of the Bible for spells.
You can't.
You really can't. You can't. Like, the rest of it's just, like...
laws and stories, yeah. And
people talking.
And... yeah. But, I mean, they're poems, you know, so...
Well, Psalms are just a whole lot of poems.
Another good one would be Song of Solomon for all your love and lust spells.
Yeah.
All you former Christians will get that. So, is there... if you could, like, have one tool that you would use for the rest of your path, can't use anything else, just one tool, what would it be and why?
That's so difficult.
I know, that's why I asked it.
There's so much that's so important to me. Probably tarot.
Tarot?
Because you can talk to your ancestors and the divine and source, or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the future, I guess, if you want to. And it's not really what you use it, but if you want to think you can use it that way, I'm sure it can work that way.
Yeah, future's too mutable to me to be able to to use it to predict.
I firmly believe that there is different timelines.
Oh, 100%.
So you could be getting the future, but if you change any slight action,
mm-hmm.
it can change exactly what timeline you're on.
Oh, yeah. Like, anytime I do readings for people, I'm like, this is the advice of how you can get to this situation.
Right.
But that's not a guarantee, because you might do something that's gonna, like, screw it up.
Yeah, you would know.
You would know, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I would know. You would know. No, I would know. Yes, that is very true. Well, I appreciate you so much for coming on here and talking to everyone. You probably will be on here way more than just this episode.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, you're too big of a part of my path for me not to have you.
I mean, we only got to the beginning of everything.
I know. We didn't even get to, like, what you actually do now.
Exactly.
Yep. But yeah, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. I hope that you all, the listeners, really enjoyed listening to her story and her perspective growing up in the South. I think a lot of people around here who have alternate faiths are very different in the way that they approach it. And I think that's very fascinating to me, because not one person is going to have the exact same experience as me. And that's kind of why I want to have more than just my personal story on the podcast. And obviously, you know, we're going to talk about other little one-off things too. It's not going to be all interviews, but I do want to sprinkle in a lot of interviews with people and talking to other folks. And I want to hear other stories and other perspectives. And I think y'all will too. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Until next time, blessed be.
Blessed be.